Chaser, let's start with what took place on Saturday night in Denver with the Blues and the end of the season. The Blues get the win in Chicago. Fans are feeling optimistic. And then, unfortunately, Tarasenko gets hurt in the first period and then just never really able to get back in it. I felt like they got a horrible, horrible break on what took place with the offsides call. I have no idea how that was not reversed. What was your takeaway on that?
Well, I think the league's, you know, thought on it was is that they had a clear picture of it, that higher pixelated picture that looked like the blue line was bleeding into that puck. And that's why they made the call the way they did. I don't know what other explanation to give anybody, because it's, I mean, to us and what we've seen, it looked clear that it was that it was out. But it seemed, and I think the thing that fans are struggling with a little bit too is that it seemed like the last three games that we played, you know, there was an impact by the officials in some way, some capacity. I thought that the game that was done against Washington was poorly called at the end there, when you decide that you want to make an impact in the game and instead of letting the players decide it and they score a power play. And then, of course, the one against Chicago, the Blues let that lead slip, and that's on the Blues. I think whatever happened at the end of that game against Chicago in St. Louis is really the one that broke the camel's back. 8 seconds left, and you know, you don't close the team out. And I think that it was just a whole bunch of those types of plays that added up to it. But what you had, though, really, Bud, is that you have a team that just ran out of gas. I mean, there was not enough horses on that team that could put you in that predicament. And I think that, I think people assumed after the Stastny trade that was going to be it. And they made a hell of a run, and they're just out of gas. They're put together right now, glue and duct tape. And there's not enough gas in the tank. And you did it. When Tarasenko went out, that was a big blow.
I thought starting Jake Allen against the Avalanche was a mistake. In retrospect, I thought he played brilliantly. I thought he was one of the reasons why they were able to stay in it. I give him a lot of credit. What did you think of Jake?
He was really good in the game. Certainly wasn't why the Blues aren't moved on. You know, I mean, look, you know, he was a rested goaltender that looked like he belonged in a big game and played like it. And so, I mean, it's certainly not why the St. Louis Blues aren't you know, lined up against, you know, Nashville right now. It's Jake was not the issue. I think there's just not enough gas left in the tank. When you look at all the minutes down the stretch that Petro and Steen and guys like that were playing, I mean, you know, it just got to you. Kyle Brodziak's a heck of a hockey player, and he's a, you know, a year ago he was on our fourth line just playing as hard as you can imagine to, you know, for this team. And he ended up being a second-line player for us. Now, obviously, your depth is wounded, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're into the young players quite a ways if Kyle's playing those kind of minutes and you're counting on him offensively. And so, as we've said, or I've said to you guys, since I don't know what the expectations were when you have to, you know, you got to manage your expectations a little bit too when you're in a situation where you're, you know, you've been a seller a couple of years in a row at the deadline, and you know, you have the injuries that you have. The expectations can't be, hey, you know, this team's got a chance to win it all because you know, you just don't have enough guys that are qualified to be in situations like that yet that have had enough maturity that can win. And so, you know, the secondary scoring thing that we talked about every week since I've been on the show was not addressed for whatever reason, because you're hoping the young guys learn and develop. And the second thing is that, you know, if you're being honest with everybody, they just ran into too many injuries where they couldn't recover.
Are you expecting a major overhaul?
Well, I would expect there's going to be some. Yeah, I mean, I would expect there's going to be some changes. I think it's unrealistic to expect that, you know, you don't make the playoffs and there's not some. Now, I mean, I will say, you know, I think Doug's thought is to, you know, to get some younger guys, and he didn't want to just, you know, his philosophy. If I came, if I was re-signed to just get in the playoffs, then maybe I'm going about this the wrong way. My philosophy is to win a Stanley Cup, and that's why, you know, and I think that's his, he just didn't feel like there was enough for them to do that, and that's why he made the changes he made at the deadline, and why he's trying to orchestrate a group that at some point comes together all at the same time. That's the problem, I think, with managing a cap and managing Norris as you have. Because if you look at this Blues team, I think they have 1.5 first-line players right now. They have 2 second-line players, and you're hoping Fabry's all right. And then you're expecting, again, you're expecting your depth players to come and have stronger seasons, your young guys, your Tage Thompsons and you know, Yashkin to be more offensive and stuff like that. And I just, you know, so I think there's a lot of expectations on some of the guys, and if they don't feel that they're qualified right now, they're going to make changes over the summer.
It feels like right now they're a long way from being a Stanley Cup contender, or do we get a false sense of that because they did miss so many games due to injury, so many key players?
Well, you know what? They did. One of the biggest, to me, one of the biggest losses was Jay Bouwmeester never being right from the start of the season. And you can say, well, he's played a lot of hockey and he's getting a little longer in the tooth, and that's what's happened. But if you don't have a guy that can, I mean, he just ate up minutes his whole career. I mean, legitimately played impactful minutes and all of the big minutes, like all of the times where you need a guy on the ice to, you know, to step up and be, you know, to clear a pass, kill a penalty, whatever it may be. He was the guy that was always counted on to do it. And then when he has a little, you know, he needs surgery, you know, and he's, you know, on crutches still trying to, and it sounds like the surgery is a success. You start to get a guy like that back. It makes a huge impact. Now you're not asking a youngster and Schmaltz to play key minutes in key games that you have to win. And you know, and then it takes a lot of the relief off Petro. It takes a lot of, Robert Bertuzzo's never played this many minutes. He was playing injured. You know, you look at, you know, Petrangelo's minutes this season. He had a heck of a year and he increased, but I think down the stretch is when he gained most of them. And to me, you know, I understand you want to have your guy that, you know, it's your go-to guy, your captain, play strong minutes, play big minutes. But boy, it wears on you by the end of the year. And if you don't have guys in that relief area that can be a part of it as well, then you're going to get into trouble. And that's exactly what happened with the Blues. They just ran into a situation where, you know, they ran out of gas. They didn't have enough NHL players that were ready to play and contribute to be successful. That's really, you know, so I think, you know, it's tough to manage the expectations a little bit when you know that's going on.
Some of the biggest needs for the Blues could have been at least partially filled if Fabry were healthy, but for a guy who's got his track record of injury, do you think there's concern about putting all the eggs into the Fabry basket moving forward?
I think they're very cautious of it. I think it's a legitimate concern. You know, and it's not because he gets, I think they want to know just how, you know, how this kid's going to recover and how extensive the damage was that for the second time, and will it stay stable? Because it was an important year for Robbie, I think, for the team, because they needed, you know, they needed him to be a part of, you know, the offensive side of the game, and they needed that support, and they needed, you know, them extra goals they lost with David Perron, and they didn't get any of that stuff from him because of the injury, and then they didn't replace him either. So, you know, I think they asked young guys to do more than maybe they were capable of doing, and that's how the Blues ended up in the situation they're in. You know, they didn't, you know, the injuries started early, and like they say in baseball, and it's just kept on coming. And even at the end of the year, you know, you're losing Gunnarsson, you're losing, you know,
Upshaw.
Emergency surgery to Upshaw. Mm-hmm. Like, those are NHL seasoned veterans that know how to handle a game like the Colorado game, and yet they're not in it because they, you know, they're too banged up. So, you know, injuries are a part of the game, certainly, but the Blues said certainly had a tough year when it comes to the luck of them, because, I mean, I've just not seen a team that got abused that bad when it comes to the injury department. It just mastified.
Kelly Chase, our guest here, brought to you by Petromart on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He's our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Chaser, wanted to have you on, of course, to discuss the Blues season coming to an end, but also something near and dear to your heart, the tragedy in Saskatchewan over the weekend. I saw you on ESPN discussing it. The Humboldt Broncos, the bus crash, 14 killed. Last night, a vigil held. Justin Trudeau in attendance as thousands mourn what took place with that bus crash. And I saw the tweet you sent out in which somebody got a shot from the side of the crash, and there's a Slapshot DVD split in half. And just like if you ever played the game and traveled on buses, this was just, you know, this was part of the ritual. And that one, I don't know, that one really hit. But seeing the video of the fans and the family members from that bus crash, just tragic. Your thoughts on what took place in your home province this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, you have 15 kids that lost their lives. And you know, I mean, I've been down that road. I know where the accident was. I've been over that road 10,000 times. I played on that team. I know the impact that it would have in that little community. It's just really tough to fathom what they're going through there. I mean, I don't even know how to put it into words. I just, you know, I've talked to so many guys that we played with that just drove there that just don't even know what to do. They just said, we don't know why we drove here. We don't know what we're supposed to do. But what can we do? Because they're just, I mean, families breaking down at youngsters' games when they see one another since the tragedy, in other towns. We have Pangers. We have a roast planned with our alumni that we do. And it's tonight. And there's a Canadian coming in from Saskatchewan, from just down the road from where the accident was. And he said to me, he goes, I'm just telling you, buddy, It's a real impactful thing when you see another person from back home, you know, from Saskatchewan. He said, you know, I had a tough time on stage. It's crazy. It's supposed to be, you know, a lighthearted event that I was at a few days back. I could hardly get through it, the act. And it's just, that's how hard it's hit our communities back home. Hockey is a culture there, and it is such a, It's just such a big part of those little towns, and it's such a big part of what the fabric of it. And like, it's the center of the community in the wintertime. I mean, there's their team, their junior team. You know, there's about four kids that have went up the last few years to play. A couple of the boys, the young Johnson boy and the O'Brien, Joe O'Brien from O.B. Clark's son, played up in Nipawin the last few years they get it. They've been up there. They've traveled those roads. They know what it means to these families to have these kids, you know, living with them, and these billet families that take these kids in and treat them like their own. You know, I see one of the billet families had three boys that perished that were just like his own. And I mean, you know, sitting in a church waiting to hear if your kid was one of the kids that was, you know, lost. And then, you know, I just can't imagine having kids and knowing what that. I just can't imagine.
Those teams spend a lot of time on those buses. They must have to travel all over the place frequently to get from town to town and play all these games.
Yep, it's truly unbelievable. Like, that's where you spend your time. I mean, you're playing cards. And that's the way the Canadian kids, you know, try and live out their dream, is to get on one of those buses and you know, hope that they can continue to grow as players across Western Canada, and some of them get drafted and then eventually get a chance to play in the NHL. And that's how it works with us. And it's truly a terribly sad situation. You know, the youngster that played in Prince Albert all year, he got called up to that team. That was his first game, and he was going to head up with the big boys. He's a 16-year-old kid. He practiced that week in Humboldt and was going to play and, you know, was traveling on that bus. the fans that were following in another one that came 20 minutes later. I mean, just, the assistant coach that had to leave late was driving and following the bus. There's all of these stories that are just, because it was such a big part of the community and they were having this real tough rivalry game, and it just, it's all taken away on you. And I don't know. I mean, what do you say to these families? We're trying to organize something to go back and have a benefit from them, and, both a alumni association, a NHL situation, and a lot of the country music stars are coming together, and we got a call about it. But what do you do? What do you say? I got a kid right now that wants to go play junior hockey next year, and you think that that's the safest place. It's supposed to be the safest place for a kid to travel is on a bus. And unfortunately, this terrible, horrific accident happens, and you lose all of these lives, and it certainly puts the hockey thing in perspective.
For those listening and, becoming more and more familiar as you personalize the story, because it is your home province and a road you've traveled, as you said, 10,000 times. Is there anything people can do who would like to donate? I saw there was a GoFundMe and it's raised millions of dollars already.
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe page. And I think, any of the support, I talked to, the president of the team. I've talked to people in the community, been in contact with the mayor and kept everybody informed on what we're trying to do from a organization standpoint, as far as the alumni and they just said, listen, we're just accepting, everything from people when it comes to, words of prayer to, how the hell do you deal with something like this? You can't even imagine it. Nobody prepares for something like this. It's just something that, quite honestly, it's hard to talk to somebody back home and not have tears. I mean, it's a national tragedy, but it's picking up such. The storylines are just, they're terrible when it comes, you're hearing these stories about the parents, the Shumlansky father that was on the scene within, his farm is 3 minutes from the accident, and his kid was actually one of the boys that walked away, and putting him in the truck and running back and, yelling at his wife to get blankets and get people here. We need help. And, putting his own kid in a vehicle and not knowing exactly what was wrong with him. So, you don't plan for something like that. It was horrific. The emergency people did an unbelievable job, but it was, from our understanding, it was so taxing on them as well. Imagine, 29 people coming in at once in these little communities and trying to, identify bodies and kids. And I mean, just awful.
The GoFundMe, for those who are hearing Kelly Chase talk about this, it's GoFundMe.com, and then it's funds for Humboldt Broncos if you are interested in donating after this horrible tragedy. More than $4 million already donated to the families for the Humboldt Junior Hockey Team. Chaser, I know this is not easy to discuss, but I knew you would be able to give us some behind the scenes on just how devastating this is. So I appreciate you talking about it, sir. As always, we thank you for coming on the show.
All right, guys. Have a good day.